Today marks the completion of our sermon series, New Year's, New Choices. And in some ways, that's a false construct, to imagine that all of the new choices that we have in our lives are somehow directed around that time of January 1st. We know that really every day of our life, even in January, February, March, April, May, through December, we face choices. And so as people of faith, with the many choices we have, the many doors that we can go through every day, it's been important to look at how we make choices that help not only us, but help the world in which we live. And so today, the culmination of the sermon series is Choosing Love Over Hate. To do so, we're going to be looking at the life and really the death of the first Christian martyr. You may think, oh, well, Jesus is the first Christian martyr, but that's not so, because Christianity did not exist until the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And so we'll be looking at the life and the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Stephen was performing great works in the name of Jesus. He was doing so many great works that he was making a name for himself, but it also meant that he was gathering the wrong type of attention. Because those who were religious, who thought that they had the corner on the market for good works, they didn't like somebody else doing good works in the name of this man, Jesus, that they thought that they'd already gotten rid of. And so you're going to hear about the end of Stephen's life. And I want you to listen, because this is important. If he had faced his martyrdom in a different way, then we as Christians, as faith, might have been entirely different. Listen for what Stephen says during these moments. Larry, will you come forward and share?
Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I do say a special word of welcome to those who are watching via Facebook on this cold, wintry day. But for all of you, I also offer a word, I guess, of warning. I wrote this sermon before I left, knowing that I'd be getting back from Puerto Rico pretty much in time to walk into church. And then, as happens, the events of the week made me rewrite my sermon. And so what I have are lots of different pieces of paper with handwriting and typing, and hopefully we'll end up where I think we want to. Where I was thinking when I started, too, was during a snowstorm that happened during the week before I left for Puerto Rico. Somebody put up on the Blue Springs Community Awareness Facebook page a post that I thought was innocuous and a little bit helpful. They said, you know, I'm the mom of a child, and before, during this snowstorm, you decide to pick up the phone and order a pizza to be delivered to your house, I invite you just to think about the fact that these are usually 16-year-olds who are the pizza drivers, and they're young and inexperienced in their cars. And if you don't want to be out in this weather yourself, please, if you don't have to, don't order a pizza and ask for a young person to be out driving in it either. I thought that made sense. Well, my goodness, the responses on that Facebook page, you thought that this person suggested, I don't know, drawing and quartering people all over the place. People started responding with this anger. It was, you know, if kids have a job, then they have to do that job, even if there is snow out there. And we're coddling kids these days, and that's what's the matter with this generation. That's what's the matter with this nation. And I mean, it just went on and on. time just from this seemingly innocent post. And it reminded me once again what you all already know, which is the internet makes it so easy to just immediately respond with hate in ways that you would not face to face. And we also know that hate is always the easiest response. Hey, you know, don't order pizza if you don't have to, so kids don't have to be out in it. Well, I'll order a pizza if I want to. It's my God-given right to order pizza, and you can't make me stop. And we're so quick to hate like that. And what I want to say today is when you live your life and you have these choices, I want to urge you to choose love that is persistent over hate that just comes so fast. We saw this in Stephen's story, and I've already shared with you, Stephen was doing good works so much that he caught the wrong type of attention. And so people were mad at what he was doing because he was doing good in the name of Jesus. And so when they came to confront him, he preached more love about Jesus. And it made them so mad in the scripture that you heard Larry read that they ground their teeth. Now, I will be the first to confess that I have had some sermons that have been dogs, but I've never had anybody grind their teeth in anger at me. And Stephen kept preaching, and then they went from teeth grinding to covering their ears so that they wouldn't even have to hear another word from this man, as they then rushed him and killed him by throwing stones at him until he died. Think about that for a moment. Being stoned is not an easy way to go. You dodge, maybe duck a few stones, but then they begin to land and they begin to make cuts. And if the stones are big enough, thrown with enough velocity, bones begin to break, skin is torn, you're bleeding, you're in pain as your life is literally taken from you stone by stone. And in those moments, Stephen looks at heaven and he sees a vision of God with Jesus at his hand. And I believe it's out of the strength of that vision that he says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them," as his final word. Now think about that for a minute. What if instead he had said with his final words, "With God as my witness, my death shall be avenged. I call all Christians to rise up and wreak vengeance upon those who have killed me in this way," and then died theatrically. And we've seen endings like that in movies before, but that wasn't Stephen. Stephen said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." If he had said, "Wreak vengeance, rise up and revenge my life," then what would have happened? The few Christians that there were, they may have followed his words, and they would have perhaps killed people that they thought had a part in Stephen's death, or perhaps they would have fought physically against the religious authorities or the authorities of the land, the Romans, and what would have happened would that Christians would have likely been wiped out real quickly. And if they had survived, who would we be? We'd be the people of vengeance. Mess with a Christian and see what happens to you, buddy. But that's not who we are. Stephen, as he was dying in a terrible and painful way, as the stones of hatred were coming and hitting him and killing him, said, "Father, do not hold this sin against him." And in his death, he showed the persistent power of love over hate. And that is who we have been ever since. And that's who we are called to be. To love persistently, even when it is not easy, and sometimes it is not. I learned that in some new and powerful ways in Puerto Rico this week, and I want to share some of those with you. When we went to Puerto Rico and we landed in San Juan and then went to the island of Vieques, When Hurricane Maria hit that island that I crossed over Vieques, it was the most powerful hurricane ever in recorded time to have hit the Caribbean. It was a Category 5 hurricane. It took down every power line, every power pole took down. It wrought terrible devastation upon the island. To get a sense of that, imagine if the Joplin tornado, you remember that, had gone through our area instead. And then imagine that that had happened and that we were on an island, way out in the middle, off an island in the middle of the ocean. So that when some of us were out of electricity for a few days, a couple of weeks ago in a storm, imagine having that tornado hit and that linesmen couldn't come in, drive in from Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska, wherever, because you're on an island. There would not be resources to go get what you need because you're on an island. You can't go somewhere else to stay a few nights in a hotel to have power to get medical care because you're on an island. People can't get to you because you're on an island. That was the situation in Vieques. Every power line that we saw, every power pole that we saw was new since Hurricane Maria. That was a year ago, September, almost 18 months. 18 months so far of people living in that stress of having everything blown away and then the time it has taken to rebuild. So many developing nations, areas have chickens and dogs running around in the streets, and same for Vieques. They also have horses running around in the streets everywhere. This was right across from where we were staying, just a few horses. But it's a land of great beauty. This was the sunset one night. It's just so much beauty, the island that we were on. This was just two blocks from where we were staying. But we were there to help where we could. So one of our projects was to go help with a house. It was about an 800-square-foot footprint of two-story house. This roof had been terribly damaged. It was a single mom with two children living in the downstairs part now, with also her parents, including her mother who had cancer. The upstairs was unusable because of all the water damage and all of those months and months and months without electricity. One of the things we learned about persistent love was doing the tasks that were set before us in ways that we would not have done it if we were here. There was bare wood there. It was tongue and groove type of ceiling wood. And eight people working hard. There's Betty Hartwig. Eight people working hard 2 days to paint just that ceiling. There was no primer to be used, and the brushes that we were using weren't the ones that we might have chosen, but our task was to do what we could with what we were given. And so we got that ceiling painted so that hopefully that family will be able to move back into the second floor and stretch out some. We also had a lot of time spent at the parsonage for one of the two churches in Vieques. The woman in the middle is Pastor Carmen. She's the pastor of that church. On the right is Trevor Dancer, who's pastor of Central United Methodist Church in Kansas City. Their team was with us also. She told me a lot about what it was like at the time. The parsonage that we were working on was her home. It was in poor repair even before the hurricane came, as often happens with parsonages that just hadn't had much attention. Not many people relatively died in the storm itself, but it was the aftermath. Think about this for a moment. Think about the most medically fragile person that you know. And then take away electricity from that person for 4 months. If somebody was on oxygen, there was no more oxygen. People on dialysis would not have been living on Vieques anyway because there was no dialysis available. But then think of other more subtle issues. If somebody is living with stress or hypertension anyway, take away electricity from everything for 4 months. And what they found was there were cascading deaths that were related to Maria in the days and weeks and months to follow. Pastor Carmen is an amazing woman to be in ministry there. She had an opportunity to not be there, to leave Vieques, and she wanted to stay. That persistent love that I'm talking about is what she was living. This is the view from her parsonage, at least it is once we got a lot of the brush cleared away. This is the parsonage itself. That cross on top, I believe, would light up if it were repaired. But you can just get a glimpse of what the building itself is like. So this is Lana Evans carrying some of the brush that we were clearing. You can see more of the wall, the parsonage building itself. And then this is Carol Sarton. She is the hardest worker, the oldest member of our team. I made her pose. The thing she does not like about that picture is it does not show her working, but it was hard to find her not working to get that picture. So here's Carol Jo Lenning, and then another friend from the other team, Terry Hickam, and they are sawing a tree down, clearing brush. This is a bow saw, you know, where two people, because, again, we didn't have the type of tools that we might have used here. There was one chainsaw. There were very limited loppers, things that we might have used. Persistent love is taking down not just one, but, oh, hundreds probably of trees, just like that. And that's what love is like. So the next-door neighbor to the parsonage had goats and sheep. And there's no fence between the parsonage and these very near neighbors. In fact, they were often in the yard while we were working. And so one of the tasks was to put in a fence. So here's Randy Williams and John Bragg. And if you notice, they've got the post hole diggers that go chunk, chunk, and you lift out like that. They don't have electric augers. So here is what persistent love looks like. One day, they were working on putting in post holes. It's the side of a mountain, so it's rocky soil. And so they spent all morning, we had a paid foreman that was local that showed us where to put the three holes. All morning, they worked on these three holes. When they got the three holes done, the foreman came back and looked and said, "Oh, we're putting in a different type of fence that requires a different distance, and so you need to move all those holes 2 feet over." That took a lot of Christian love. That was persistent love, trust me. So then they got to the new right place, and they started digging with, again, this post hole digger. And they'd been told how deep the hole needed to be, and the last 2 feet of depth were rock, and they spent all afternoon getting through that rock and getting through it, and they finally got through it. And the foreman came back and looked and said, "Good job, but you know, we really didn't need those last 2 feet of depth that you did." Christian love, persistent love there. They didn't say anything that would embarrass us as followers of Jesus Christ, so that was really good kudos to them. But persistent love is like that. So here's our team the day before yesterday. I want to introduce you to a couple of really important people. There is Tammy. She's the one who arranges for every group that comes in, all the logistics. She has a wonderful spirit, wonderful heart, because there are lots of people with lots of different needs, and she made it all work. Then on the far right, that's Bonnie. She was the translator primarily for the other team. A wonderful, beautiful woman facing some health issues who we continue to hold in prayer. And then right there, that's Angel. He was our translator. He is an amazing young man. He's had a really interesting life, and I have a hunch that God is really up to something in his life and going to be doing great things. He took such good care of us, and we were so blessed by all of these people as we served together. So I want you to know, though, that you do not have to get in an airplane and go across an ocean to live persistent love, because we are called to live love exactly where we are. How can we share this love that is so important, because it truly is? Well, so first of all, I encourage you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, Jesus told us to do that, and I have lots of, "Well, I can, except for." Well, of course, but maybe not. But Stephen did it for the people who were stoning him to death. He loved them through that. And so we are called to do that also, to not stay in hate, but to live out that love. Do good in your community where you are. Have your love be a shining beacon in the home where you are, in your workplace, in your school, in your community. Be known by your love. Love those around you. Put down your phone, look each other in the eye, and live out that love. Be persistent and stay where you are. Our final day, or next to last day, some of the group went shopping. And I wasn't with the group that day, but we were given blue t-shirts that every group that's come, that we have these t-shirts. And so a couple of the members were wearing the t-shirts. They were in the store checking out. And the person behind the cash register said, "I know who you are. Thank you." Well, our group had never been there before on that side of the island. But what the cashier meant was, by our blue shirts, they knew who we were. They knew that we were there, that we were helping in a helpful way, and that we were going to be back because they'd been seeing blue shirts since Thanksgiving, and there were going to be people coming after us. In fact, there's already a group there right now picking up where we left off. That's what persistent love looks like. Not just doing the easy stuff, but doing the hard stuff. And not just in Puerto Rico, but where we are right here. Choose love over hate every day, so that you're known for it, so that people say, you know, those Methodists, we see them loving in all sorts of ways. Tutor a child, pack a meal, help out at our Wednesday night dinner. There's so many ways, but live this love that we've been given. Choose it every day. Make a difference, not just across the world, but where you live right now. Will you pray with me? Oh God, I thank you so much for the gift of persistent love that Stephen had as he faced his own death, that you had as you faced death and resurrection for us. May we live in this hope, this love that you have given us. May we share this love. May we truly change this world for you with that love. Amen.